Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Samechtet. Today's daf is being studied the Eilu Nishmat Moshe ben Miriam. It's the Mohiri Alav Shalom. Ruach Hashem Tanichim Began Eden. Amen. By his family. Today's daf is being studied le'ilu nishmat Yosef ben Simcha sheneftar b'kitzur yamim v'shanim ruach Hashem tenuchenu began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied le'ilu nishmat Hacham Baruch Rafael ben Miriam and Abraham ben Esther ruach Hashem tenuchenu began Eden. Amen. We are starting on Samechtet Amud Rishon, and we are 6 lines down, starting with the word Ve'ela Munbaz. The Gemara says Ve'ela Munbaz Shigaga Bemai. We learned in the previous daf a machloket between Munbaz and Rabbi Akiba regarding a case of a Tinok Shenishba. That was a child that was taken into captivity from when he was young, and therefore did not have any access to any Torah knowledge. And therefore, inadvertently, because of the lack of knowledge, he transgressed many Yisurim in the Torah. For example, Shabbat, Gemara says he might have drinking blood, he might have eaten Halev, he might have worshipped Avodah Zarah. So there is a great mahloket when finally this fellow finds out about the Torah. What is his obligations legabeh hayuv korban hatat? So Rabbi Akiva says he's hayav to bring a korban hatat. That's the opinion of the Hakamim, that he has to bring a korban hatat for all his transgressions. As a matter of fact, he brings one hatat for all the halul Shabbat, one hatat for all the halib that he ate, one hatat for all the dam that he ate, one hatat for all the avodah zarah, one per category. Whereas Munbaz comes along and says no, that this fellow over here is exempt from any Qurban Hatat. And he brought Pesukim to support his Shita. It's actually based on Pesukim that juxtapose the Hayuv of Qurban Hatat next to the Hayuv of Mezid. Bamidbar Perik Tedvav, Pasuk Chaftet talks about the Hayuv of Qurban Hatat, Peshogeg, Pasuk Lamed talks about the fellow that does a sin biyad rama, that's the intentional sinner. So he says, what's the connection between the shogeg and the mezid? So Munbaz said, just like the mezid has da'at, which means when he does the sin, obviously he knows what he's doing, that's what makes him intentional. So to be hayav a korban b'shogeg, it's only in a case where there was da'at, which means where the guy at one point in his life knew the law and then forgot it. But in this case of a Tinok Shenishba, where he never had da'at, because he was never exposed, so you're not subject to Korban Hatat. So Rabbi Akiva came along and said, Munbaz, with that logic, why don't you extend it and go even further? And say what? Why don't you say that just like a Mezid has da'at at the time of the sin, that's what makes him intentional. When he's transgressing, he knows exactly what he's doing. He doesn't care. So he has da'at at the time of the sin. So too, to be a shogeg, that's hayav hatat, you should have da'at at the time of the sin. Now, we understand that as a, you know, he's Rabbi Akiva's questioning is, how could that be? And Munbaz's answer is, hey, yes, exactly right. Now, Rabbi Akiva answers back to him and says, what are you talking about? Then, what's the case of shogeg? If a guy has knowledge of the sin at the time that he's committing it, how is that called a shogeg? So the Gemara never answered that. Now the Gemara is going to go back and explain to us how Munbaz can give you a case where you have knowledge of the sin that you're committing at the time that you're committing it, and still you have the status of a shogeg. You're still considered inadvertent, and therefore you'll be hayav a korban. So the Gemara asks, Ve'ela Munbaz Shigaga Bemai. Where does the Shigaga, the inadvertency, manifest itself? If you're telling me he could know the sin at the time that he's committing it, So what's Shogeg about it? Which means he knows what he's doing. So the Gemara says, Kegon Sheshagag Bekorban. Gemara says a big hadush here. He was inadvertent in his knowledge of the extent of the punishment of the sin. Meaning, let's take an example. He knew that Halev is Asur. Ask the guy. He says, Halev is Asur min HaTorah. He knows the sin. Mm-hmm. Even ask him, what's the punishment of Halev? He'll tell you, Karet. It's punishable by Karet. So the man knows a lot. But there's one thing he doesn't know. He doesn't know that if you eat Halev, you're going to have to bring a Korban Hatat Bishogeg. He doesn't know that. That already is enough lack of knowledge to call the guy he didn't know. Even though he knew a lot, he could know the sin, he could know the punishment of the sin, but even if he doesn't just know one prat, one detail, and what is that? That on the Shogeg level, this is a type of sin that's Hayav Korban Hatat. So Munbas calls that a Shogeg. So that answers his question, which is yes, you have a case of Shogeg where you have knowledge and still you consider it a Shogeg. V'Rabbanan, or what about the rabbis that argue on Munbas? So the Gemara says, Shigegat Korban LaShemesh Shigaga. He says no. The fact that you didn't know that it's Hayav Korban, that doesn't make you a Shogeg. So the Gemara says, "V'rabanan shegaga b'mai." So then, what makes the person a shogeg? So if a machloket, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, "Kevan sheshagag bekaret, afalpi shehezid belav." The Rabbanan say, they agree. You could know the sin and still be a shogeg, but they say it's not enough that you didn't know the hayuf korban. That'll still make you a mezid. What makes you a shogeg is if you didn't know that it's punishable by karet. Since we see in the Torah, that the Torah, when it teaches us the laws of hayuv korban hatat, it puts it right next to the law of mezid, that's hayuv karet. So therefore we see there's obviously a connection between korban hatat and hayuv karet. So the rabbis will say, a guy knows the sin. Let's take the case of Halev. He knows that Halev is Asur. But he just doesn't know, it's not just, he doesn't know that this is punishable by Karet. So in his knowledge of the extent of the severity of the sin, he's not aware of. That can make the fellow a Shogeg. Third opinion, V'Rishtakish Amar, V'Rishtakish said in the name of the rabbis, Ad Shiyishgog Belav V'Karet. Shtakij is the classical type of shogeg that we're all familiar with until the other opinions. Which means a shogeg means you don't know anything. You don't know that the sin, you don't know the punishment, which means that would be the normal shogeg that we always understood. What is a shogeg? Guy doesn't know. Guy doesn't know halev exists. He doesn't know that there's a concept of halev. That's a shogeg. But once already he knows halev, even though he doesn't know Karet, even though he doesn't know Korban, that's considered a Mezid. So it comes out, according to this we have Munbaz's opinion and then two opinions in the rabbis. Let's review the opinions. Munbaz holds, he's the most lenient opinion in how he classifies a Shogeg. Munbaz holds you can know the sin, meaning you can know the Isur, you can even know the karet aspect of it, but so long as you don't know that it's hayuv korban, so that makes you a shogeg. What does it mean makes you a shogeg? Therefore you'll bring a korban hatat. Now, it's interesting, she taught amongst the haronim, the Sfat Emet says, but in such a case, you'll get both punishments, which means you'll be hayav karet as well. But you'll get two. You'll bring a korban for the shogeg aspect, and then you'll bring a hayuv. You'll get the karet because bottom line you knew that this item over here is hayuv karet, which is interesting to say that you'll get both. It's just that we're tacking on a korban hatat because bottom line he has an understanding. That's actually about local amongst the harim, but that is the Sfat Emet's opinion. In any event, you have Shitat Rabbi Yohanan. Rabbi Yohanan says, you could know the Isur, but if you're not well versed in the knowing that it's punishable by karet, you know, chaylev is Isur. You just don't know it's karet. That's also could be considered a shogeg, and you can bring a korban chatat. Whereas the Shtaki says, no, it's the standard shogeg that you're familiar with. You can't know anything. You can't know the isud. When the guy's eating, he has no idea chaylev is asud. He has no idea of punishments of this item. That is the case of shogeg. Because there's three opinions. There's an interesting Rashba over here that should be mentioned. The Rashba says, let's say a guy knows the aseh, but doesn't know the lot aseh, which means there are certain mitzvot in the Torah that have both a positive commandment to it and a negative commandment to it. Which means, like you could have a Shabbat. Shabbat is positive commandments to keep the Shabbat, let's say, and then you have a negative commandment, lot taaseh kol melakah. See, the Rashba says, what if a guy, he doesn't know the lot taaseh, but he knows the aseh. Is he still considered a shogeg? Because she could argue and say, well listen, if the guy knows the positive, it's automatic that if it's a positive to do it, then it's a negative to transgress it. So Rashba says a big hadush. He says, no, knowledge of the aseh alone still makes the guy a shogeg if he didn't specifically know that there's a lot of aseh. So according to Rashba, a guy knows there's a mitzvah aseh to keep Shabbat. He just didn't know that it says in the Torah, lo ta'aseh. He doesn't know it's a lo ta'aseh as well. Until you know the lo ta'aseh, that's not considered a, that's not considered mezi. That's considered a shogeg. Because we always bring shogeg on the lo ta'aseh. We don't bring shogeg on the positive commandment. Shogegs are brought on the negative commandment. So until he knows the negative commandment, that's still considered shogeg. Even though he has knowledge of the positive of it, that's not considered enough. In any event, the Gemara goes a step further. The Gemara says, Ama Rava, Mai Tama Rabbi Shimon Ben Lakish. What's the rationale of Rish Lakish? Meaning, Rish Lakish says, to be a shogeg, you have to have no knowledge of the sin whatsoever. So the Gemara wants to know, what's the source of Rish Lakish? Amar Kera. So he says, he bases it on Pesukim. Now, I'll read you the whole Pasuk. This Pasuk is referring to a case where the Nasi of Yisrael committed a sin. The Pasuk says, Asher Nasi Yeheta. The case where the Nasi committed a sin. Ve'asa achat mikol mitzvot Hashem asher lo ta'asena. And he committed one of the lo ta'ases of the Torah, Bishkaga, unintentionally, the Hashem, and he's guilty. Right? That's the Pasuk. So the Gemara says, Rish Lakish learns from this Pasuk a Hiddush. And what's the Hiddush? Ad shi yishgog belav vekaret sheba. From this Pasuk we could learn that to be a shogeg, you have to be a shogeg in your knowledge of the sin itself. Where do you see in this Pasuk that the lack of knowledge must come from the mitzvah itself? So look at the Rashi. Rashi says, "Lo te'asena haynu lav," which is, if you look in the pasuk, it says he committed one of the mitzvot asher lo te'asena bishkaga. Now what is lo ta'aseh? That's the mitzvah. Lo ta'aseh. So he's learning the pasuk as if to say, to be considered a shogeg, you have to be inadvertent on the lo ta'aseh, which is you didn't know that the commandment exists. Again, the pasuk by the Nasi says that he committed achat mikol mitzvot Hashem asher lo ta'aseh bishkaga. Where was his inadvertent action in the lo ta'aseh? Meaning he did not know that this, let's say, halev exists. So that's the Shtakish's proof that the Shigaga must be in the lav, as opposed to the other opinions that say that the Shogeg can be in the punishment. The Shtakish says it has to be in the lack of knowledge of the sin itself. Comes again, Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan, Hay kerad Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, May avidle. Rabbi Yochanan that says that even if you have knowledge of the sin, it's okay, which means it still can make you a shogeg. How does he learn this pasuk? What does he do with this pasuk of Reish Lakish? Mevaele, he needs it l'chditanya for the shita of the following braita. It says in the pasuk me'am ha'aris. Now, I'll read you that pasuk. That pasuk says ve'im nefesh ahat techeta b'shkaga. If let's say you have a fellow that makes a sin b'shogeg me'am ha'aris. From the Am Ha'aris. So from the fact that it says Me'am Ha'aris, it implies a limitation. Mm-hmm. Whenever you have a mem in front of a word, it's exclusionary, which means from the Am Ha'aris, implying not everybody's going to be Hayav Korban Hatat, only from the Am Ha'aris. So the Braita here makes a Hiddush. The Braita says Prat Limumar. It's coming to include a Mumar. Who's a Mumar? A Mumar is literally a rebel. What does a rebel mean? A rebel means like this. He keeps the 612 mitzvot, let's say, but one mitzvah he doesn't care about. Which means, admittedly, he'll say, this item, I eat chalev. Finished, I'm not interested in chalev, I don't accept it. He eats it without any guilt. So he's a Mumar, let's say, even for one mitzvah in the Torah. So the Hiddush over here is that a Mumar does not bring a Korban Hatat. For example, let's say the Mumar unintentionally ate Halif. He didn't know he was eating Halif. He ate Halif. So then they tell him, that was Halif. Shogeg, he didn't know he was eating Halif even. Don't bring a Korban Hatat. A Mumar, which is a guy that would eat it anyway, a guy that doesn't care, that's what the Me'ama artist is coming to exclude. He does not bring Korban Hatat. Comes the Gemara and continues. Rabbi Shimon bin Elhazar Omer, Mishum Rabbi Shimon. He agrees to the Mumar law, but he brings it out from Pesukim. He proves it from Pesukim. How? It says, Asher lo ta'asena ve'ashem. The Pasuk said, a guy commits a sin, a mitzvah lo ta'aseh, and he's guilty. Hashav midiato mevi korban al shigegato. Lo shav midiato eno mevi korban al shigegato. Which means he's learning the pasuk that says Ashelota asena. Ashelota asena doesn't only mean that he committed a sin. That's a lota asena. But he's learning, we're talking about a guy that if he knew what he was doing, lo ta'asena, he would not have committed it. This guy is a guy that if he knew what he was doing, since he's a mumar, ta'asena, he would have done it anyway. So the Gemara says, only somebody that's hashav midiato, that when his yidi'ah kicks in and he knows what he's doing, he'll retract, he'll shav, he'll return. But this guy, the mumar, the yidi'ah, the knowledge of the sin does not cause him to retract. And what type of guy is the Torah say you bring a Korban Hatat? A type of guy that Asher lo ta'asena, that if he would find out about it, which means when he finds out about it, he would abstain, which means he wouldn't do it again, he would feel bad. This guy, when he finds out about it, his knowledge does not cause him to regret or feel bad. On the contrary, we'll do it again. That's called the Mumar. So therefore, the rabbis use this pasuk for the Mumar, and therefore they don't have any problem. Which is the other Rabbi Reish Lakish learned what? Asher lo ta'asena, that your lack of knowledge has to be of the sin itself, of the lo ta'aseh. Rabbi said, no. Your lack of knowledge can be in the punishment. What do you do with lo ta'asena? I use that to exclude a Mumar, that a Mumar that commits a sin, even b'shogeg, since the yidi'ah is not a deterrent to the Mumar, therefore he doesn't bring a Korban Hatat, which means he doesn't have the zechut to bring a Korban Hatat, which means he doesn't get the kapara of a Korban Hatat, such a person. Comes the Gemara and continues. Tanan. We have a Mishnah later on in the Perek. Avot Belachot Arba'im Haser Ahat. Mishnah is going to tell us that there are 39 melachot on Shabbat. 39 primary melachot. The way the Mishnah says it is 40 minus one. Vavinan ba, and we analyzed it, minyana lamali, which means, what do you have to give me the number? What do you have to tell me that it's 39? List them to me. Hore, Zoreya, Kotzer, Ma'amir, which means I can count them on my own. What does the Mishnah need to tell me? Avot melachot, arba'im chaser achat. The fact that the Mishnah gives you the number and tallies them up for you, that obviously is significant. So the Gemara says, the Amar of Yohanan, to teach you, Shimahasan kulam be'alem ahad, hayav al kol achat ve'achat. The Hiddush is that the maximum number of Korban Hatats that a person can bring is 39. In which case? In a case where the guy, let's say, knew that it was Shabbat, it's just that what? He didn't know Melachot. He didn't know that there's a concept of Melachot. He didn't know any of the Melachot. So in regard to the Melachot, he's considered a Shogeg. What's the law if a person commits a Melacha b'Shogeg? Hayav Hatat. So the Hiddush is, even though, let's say, the guy was Choresh 10 times that Shabbat, he only has to bring one per Melacha. And therefore, if he did, let's say, all 39, I'll bring 39 Hatta'ot. If he did all 39 six times over the Shabbat, 39. That's why the Mishnah says, Arba'im Chaser Achat, to allude to this halakha, that the maximum number you'll bring in a case where you knew it was Shabbat but you didn't know Melachot is 39. So the Gemara asks now a very obvious question. Hechi mashkahatla, how do you have such a case? Bezadon Shabbat v'shigigat Melachot. How do you have a case where the guy knew it was Shabbat but he didn't know Melachot? Meaning, in which way then did he know it's Shabbat? Which means, knowledge of Shabbat, it's not enough that he knows you wear nice clothes once a week. Knowledge of Shabbat has to manifest that you know something is forbidden. If a guy doesn't know the 39 melachot, so you say, but he knew Shabbat. Right? What's the case where you bring hataot on the melachot, where you knew it was Shabbat? He's not a shogeg on that. He's just a shogeg, he didn't know Melachot. Now let's take a guy, he did not know any of the 39 Melachot. So in what way did he know it was Shabbat then? Again, knowledge of Shabbat has to be that you know that this is Shabbat and something is forbidden. In this case over here, the guy has no knowledge. So the Gemara says, wait. Bishlama Rabbi Yohanan. Gemara says that. Bishlama according to Rabbi Yohanan. Ve'amar kevan sheshagag bekaret. Afal pishe zid belav mashkahatla kegon tiyadala le Shabbat belav, and that which means according to Rabbi Yohanan, what makes a shogeg? The guy could know the isur, he just doesn't know the punishment of karet. So I could say this guy, he knew Shabbat, he even knew the 39 melachot, he just didn't know that they punished him by karet. That makes a shogeg. So he knew Shabbat through the Melachot, but he's still considered a Shogeg because he did not know the punishment. Very good, we have the case. However, Ela l'Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Be'amar ad shizgog belav ubkaret. According to the Shtagish, you're only a Shogeg if you didn't know it at all, I mean you didn't know the sin exists at all. Di'adal in the Shabbat b'mai. So in what Isur did you know Shabbat? That you can be considered a mezid for Shabbat, meaning a knowledge of Shabbat, and a shogeg for Melachot. How did your knowledge of Shabbat manifest? The Gemara says, the Yadav Tehumin. Yeah, he knew it through an Isur that's not one of the 39. That's the Isur of Tehumin, which means on Shabbat, we're limited how far we're able to walk outside the borders of the city. Right? So the Gemara says, "Va'alibad Rabbi Akiva," specifically following Rabbi Akiva's opinion that holds that the law of Tchum Shabbat is actually forbidden from the Torah, which means there's a great machloket amongst the Tanaim walking 2,000 amot. The 2,000 amot rule, which means there's a law that says that you're not allowed to walk, let's say, 4,000 feet, for argument's sake, outside the border of the city, whatever a border of a city means. That is a machloket, if that law is the oraita or it's the rabbanan. Everybody agrees there is a deoraita and tehomim, but it's a much larger shi'ur. It's yud bet mil, that was the size of the encampment of the Jewish people in the midbar. However, the 2,000 amot rule is a machloket. Rabbi Akiva and Achareim. Rabbi Akiva indeed holds it's deoraita. Now, in order to have a knowledge of Shabbat, your knowledge has to be that you know that something is forbidden from the Torah. Which means, if you only know Shabbat through an Yisud Rabbanan, that's not considered knowledge of Shabbat. So therefore, we have a case now. The guy knows it's Shabbat from a Torah law without knowing any of the 39 Melachot. How is that possible? The case is, he knows that Shabbat is forbidden to go outside the Tchum. And according to Rabbi Akiva, Tchum Shabbat is Yisud Deoraita. And therefore we have a case according to the Reish Lakish where it's possible for a guy not to know at all the 39 Melachot, but he could still be Hayav Korban Hatat for each 31 of the 39. He's still considered a Shogeg. What is every Yediyah Shabbat? Bitchumin Aliba, the Rabbi Akiva. Comes the Gemara and continues. Man Tana Leha. Who is the author of the following Braita? Gemara says, "Detanu Rabbanan." So we have a bright. Shagag beze ubeze zeu shogeg amur batorah, which means the classical case of shogeg in the Torah is the guy who is shogeg beze ubeze, meaning he didn't know the isur, nor did he know the punishment. Which is when a guy knows nothing, all agree that that is the case of a shogeg. That's obvious. Which means, until now we were saying cases of even. Even if he knows the sin, even if he knows the karet. But the classical case is in the Torah when it says, a person has to be a korban hatat is shagag bezeh ubezeh, where he didn't know anything. Hezid bezeh ubezeh, zuhi mezid amur batorah. In the opposite case of the intentional guy, that's the mizid. He knows the sin, he knows the punishment. That is the obvious case of mizid. Like that continues. Shagag b'shabbat. Vehizid b'melachot. Let's say you have a case where the guy is shogeg was, he didn't know it was Shabbat. Shagag b'shabbat. Even though he knew the melachot. Now we learned early in the Mishnah, that case he would bring one Korban Hatat per Shabbat that happens, because his Shigagah is coming in what? Shechat Shabbat. He's not a Shogeg when it comes to the Melachot. Which is, this guy knows the Melachot. He knows exactly the Melachot of Rasul. He just doesn't know that it's Shabbat. So the Braita says, Shagag b'Shabbat. If his inadvertent comes through Shabbat, Bezid b'Melachot, or Sheshagag b'Melachot. Or the opposite case. His Shigagah came in Melachot, Vezid b'Shabbat, right? And he knows that it is Shabbat. Or third case, She'amar yodeya ani shemelacha zu asura. The guy says, I know that this melacha is forbidden, abal eni yodeya shehayavim aleha korban or no. Right? The guy just said, I don't know if this is really punishable by korban. Hayav. In all those cases, you're going to be hayav. Now we can understand the first two cases. Shigigah on Shabbat, you'll be hayav one korban. If you're a shigigah on the melachot, you'll be hayav many korbanot. But now you tell me a third case. If the guy knew the melachah and he's just saying, I'm a shogeg and I didn't know the punishment of korban, so the Gemara says, who's the author of this braita? Gemara says, very simple. Keman. Kimunbaz. This is obviously following the Shita Munbaz. That says what? That even a guy who knows the Isur, he knows the punishment, but he just doesn't know the Hayuf Korban Hatat aspect of it, that makes him a Shogeg. So we found another Braita that's following and supports the opinion of Munbaz.
As opposed to a Mezid, everybody else would say this guy's a Mezid?
Yes, which means, if, yes, Badai, which is according to the other opinions, just not knowing the Hayuf Korban, so that puts him in a Mezid. Now, according to the Shtakish, you can't know anything. According to the Shtakish, of course, again, it makes him a Mezid, because the guy has knowledge of the sin itself. Amar Abaye. The Abaye comes along and says, Hiddush. Hakol Modin. Everybody agrees. With all the opinions that we mentioned above and what makes a guy a shogeg, they all agree bishpuat bitui. In the case of shivuat bitui, we'll explain that in a second, she'en hayavim alea korban, that you now hayav a korban b'shogeg ad shiyishgog belav sheva. Until the shogeg manifests itself in the fact that you didn't know the yisur at all. Now what is shivuat bitui? The Torah talks about a person that makes different type of shivuot, different type of swears. Bitui literally means to utter. He utters a swear. There's two type of swears that the Torah discusses. You have a case where a person swears on something in the future or something in the past. Let's take the case of swearing on something in the future. For example, a person says, I swear that I'm going to eat. The time that he made the swear, he had full intention that he's going to eat something. And then what happened? He forgot that he made the swear, let's say, and he never came to eat. So therefore he transgressed an isur from the Torah, or the opposite. He made a swear, I swear I'm not going to eat, whatever it was. And he forgot to swear in the interim, and then he went and came to eat. And the Torah comes along and says, in that case, he has to bring a korban. Now, the only time that the Torah demands a korban in such a case, which means a shogeg, is that he cannot be aware of the isur. Which means, it's not enough that he's aware of the isur, but just doesn't know the punishment, like we saw some opinions like that, like Rabbi Yohanan. In this case over here, to be considered a shogeg, the shogeg must come that at the time that he's either eating or not eating, either he forgets about the isur, or he forgets that he made a shivuah, but it's got to manifest in the actual isur of shivuah itself. So the Gemara says, everybody agrees on this. Everybody. So the Gemara says, Hakol Modin Man. Who's Hakol? Who are you coming to include? Everybody agrees. Gemara says, well, Rabbi Yohanan. Yeah, what do you think we're coming to include? We're coming to include Rabbi Yohanan that said normally you could be a shogeg even if you know the isur, so long as you don't know the karet. In this case, even Rabbi Yohanan will agree that the shogeg only manifests if you didn't know the isur. So the Gemara says, Peshita. What are you talking? It's obvious. Simple. Why? Ki ka'ama Rabbi Yohanan hecha de'ika karet. Of course, which means, in a case that's punishable by karet, for example, chelev, it was there that Rabbi Yohanan said, if you don't know the karet aspect, you could be considered a shogeg. Aval hecha de'leka karet. But in a case like by Shivuat Bitui, where there is no karet, no, which means, where else is the shogeg going to be? The shogeg is going to have to be in the sin itself. When you think about it, I say, isn't it obvious? Where did Rabbi Yohanan say that you could be a shogeg even though you know the sin? That's in a case where there's karet. So he says, oh, we can use the karet to still make you a shogeg. Even if you know that there's isur karet, still you consider shogeg. That's the case where there's karet. In the case of shivuat bitui, if a person makes a shivuah falsely, let's say, is there karet in such a case? No. So therefore, obvious, where else is the shogeg going to manifest except in the isur itself, in the lav itself? So what are you telling me? A big hadush, Hakol Modim, Rabbi Yohanan agrees. Of course Rabbi Yohanan agrees. Well, what are the other options? So the Gemara says, no. Salka data chamina. I would have thought, Hu'il v'hayav korban, v'hayuv korban, hidushu. I would have said like this. since the chayuv of korban by shivua is a chidush, which is the Torah says, if the guy unintentionally he made a shivua, he's going to eat, right? And then he forgot in the middle that he made such a shivua and he ate. The Torah says he has to bring a korban. The fact that the Torah tells us to bring a korban in that case, that is a big chidush. That is a novelty. What's the novelty of it? Which means in the whole Torah we never found a regular lo ta'aseh, which means a regular transgression that's hayav korban chatat, except when the mezid is karet. Didn't we give a rule in the daf? We said that the only time you bring a korban chatat b'shogeg is if you would do the same sin b'mezid, you'd be hayav karet. Here we find an exception. That even though by shivuat bitui there is no karet on the mezid level, still you hayav a korban chatat on the shogeg level. So that hayuv korban chatat is a hadush. And here you bring, which is here the hadush, that you bring a korban b'shogeg in any event. So kishagag b'korban namel hayev. I would have thought like this. Since the hidush of bringing a korban is a novel item by shivuat bitui, I might have thought that Rabbi Yochanan will tell you, you know what? Even if, let's say, you knew the fact that shivuat bitui is asur, but you just didn't know that it's hayav korban, and since korban is a novel thing over there, that can make you a shogeg. Kamash ma'alam, no. In that case, you have to be a shogeg in the sin itself. I'm going to repeat. The Gemara said that by shivuat bitui, even Rabbi Yochanan agrees that at the time that you transgressed, you cannot be aware of the isur of shivuat. The shigagam must come in the isur itself. So the Gemara says, of course, there's no karet over there. Where else is the... Where else is the shigaga going to come? Which is, if there's a karet, okay, so you say the shigaga is in the karet. But if there's no karet, well, where else? Because I'll tell you where else. The korban. Maybe you'll say that the guy, if he doesn't know that this type of shivua is punishable by korban, that can make the guy a shogeg. Because I'd say that this type of korban is really a hidush, the fact that it has such a thing. So that already can make the guy, if he doesn't know that piece of information, that can make him a shogeg. Comes again one and says, no, that was all hidush. That even though that there's a korban, which is a novelty in the case of shivuat bitui, still, Rabbi Yochanan must say that the inadvertency, the shigagam, must come from the Isur itself. So even if Yohanan has an exception, which means by all cases in the Torah, in the classical case of shogeg, you could still be a shogeg if you didn't know the punishment of karet. But shivuat bitui is the exception, says Abaye. There, at the time, let's say he ate, right? He made a swear that he wasn't going to eat. At that moment over there, his shigaga is going to be what? He didn't know that he made the swear. Or he didn't know, he forgot that swearing of such a thing is an isur. But it's got to be in the shivua. Meaning, if he knew that there's a shivua, if he knew the concept of shivua, and he just said, I know shivua, I just don't know if this is punishable by chatat, that's not considered a shogeg according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's considered a mezid. In the case of shivuat bitui, his shigaga must come in the isur itself.
Now,
no, what I want to say, hadush is in the Yohanan, and in Munbaz, it's obvious. It's obvious could, in this case, you could also be a shigaga in the korban. A shigaga in the korban. It's only in the Yohanan it says. In the Yohanan that says normally, it's got to be in the karet to make you shogeg. In this case, that there's no karet, don't think you can go now in the korban. It's got to be in the lav itself. Comes the Gemara and says, Kamash Ma'alam. Now, let's read a little more in the Gemara. Metibe. We have a question from a braita. Ezehu shigegat shivuat pitui l'she'avar. Till now we discussed the case of the future. What's the case of a person that makes a shivuah on a past item that he's going to be hayav. Sheim amar. Let's say the guy says like this: Yodeya ani sheshivua zu asura. The guy clearly says, I know that this shivua is forbidden. For example, let's take a guy that he ate something in the past. Now he's going to come make a shivua that he didn't eat. But before he makes the shivua, he says, I know what I'm doing right now. I know that it's asur to make such a shivua. I mean, he's very, very upfront, right? Aval eni yodeya im hayavim alea korban o lo. But he says, I'm just not so sure if this type of shivua that I'm going to make, that I know you know how to make the shivua. I just don't know if it's hayav korban or not. What is the deen? Hayav. You hayav in such a case. So the Gemara says, Hamani, who's the author? Who can be the author of such a braita? So the Gemara says, very easy. Munbazi. It's got to be Munbaz. Why? Because Munbaz is the opinion that so long as you don't know the Hayuv Korban, that makes you a Shogeg. Meaning, according to Rabbi Yochanan said in the case of Shivuat Bitu, you have to be a Shogeg in the Lav itself. So this Braita that said you can still be considered a Shogeg by Shivuat Bitu in the fact that you don't know it's Hayav Korban, that's got to be Munbaz, because Munbaz says across the board, as long as you don't know there's a Hayuv Korban. Now, we have to go back to what Rashi on the Amud Rishon . Let's go read Rashi Dibura Matril Hakol Modin Man Rabbi Yohanan. Let's review that piece. Now we got to the two dots, we can go back and analyze them. But we brought a Braita. The Braita said what? That everybody agrees by Shivuat Bitui that the Shigaga must be in the Lav itself. So he said, Hakol Modim Man, who's that opinion that says the Shigaga has to be in the Lav itself? We said, Hiddush Rabbi Yohanan. Meaning, where Rabbi Yohanan normally says the Shigaga can come in the karet, here that there's no karet, the Shigaga has to be that you didn't know the Isur itself. Rashina. Kilomar. Al Korhin Abaye Lava Plukta de Munbaz Verabanan Kae de Lishmeina de Mode Munbaz Beha Shigagat Korban Lavia Shigaga. Which means maybe you can argue and tell me when Abaye made the statement that says everybody agrees that while here you have to have your lack of knowledge in the Isur, maybe he was saying Hidush in Munbaz. Meaning maybe Munbaz, who normally says it's enough not to know the Hayuv Korban Hattat, maybe Abaye Hidush was saying maybe Munbaz over here will say that for this case of Shivuat Pitu you have to know the Lav itself. You have to give it on right away to say it's a Yohanan. Maybe Abaye was saying a Hiddush in Munbaz. That what? That in this case of Shivuat Pitu you cannot know the Isur itself. He says, the Me'echi Titi. He says, from where would you get that from? The Akal Vahomeri. I can make a Kalvahomer and say, Hashta Bechola Torah Kula. Teleka Hiddush be Korban Didu. Amar Munbaz de Mechaye Beshkegat Korban. Haka de Hiddushu. De Enba Karet Umevi Korban Ale. Loko Cheken? She says, very, very good Kalvahomer. He says, in a case, in a normal case, let's say Chelev, where this Zadon is Karet and the Shogeg is Korban, which is obvious, that's the classical case of Korban Hattat, which means even in a case where it's an obvious normal Shogeg Hayav Hattat case, still Munbaz says, if you didn't know the obvious that Hayav Hattat, still that makes you a Shogeg. Shekin in the case where it's not so obvious that you should be Hayav Korban Chatat, like in the case of Shivuat Bitu, that does it on Karet, or the more so such a case should be what? Should be Shogeg. Again, a normal case of Shogeg, Hayav Chatat is what? Zedonot Karet, Shogeg, Chatat. And Munba says, even in the obvious, in the model case, still, if you didn't know the Chayuv Chatat, you still consider Shogeg. Called Sheken and Shivuat Bitui, where it's not so Pashut that you should be Chayav Chatat, because it's not Zidon or Karet, although more so Munba is going to say, if you didn't know the Chayuv Chatat element of it, certainly you'd be considered a Shogeg. So therefore, that she just proves to us that that's why the Gemara knew it must be talking in Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan that says, normally you can get away by not knowing the karet. Here where there's no karet, so you have to know, you have to, your inadvertency has to be in the lav itself. Lav itself.
He says, Akol Modim.
Akol Modim is Rabbi Yochanan. Meaning you say, Toma one, you're right. He knows it's Akol Modim, it doesn't mean everybody. It means Rabbi Yochanan itself. Right, that's the Gemara's Chiddush. Now, let's go to Rashi. Ezu Shivuat Bitui L'Sha'avah. We have to read that Rashi inside as well. Let's review here. The Gemara brought a Braita. Yeah? The Braita was, you have a case of Shigigat Shivuat Bitui L'Sha'avah. What was the case? Where the guy made the guy, let's say, ate. Right? After he ate, he came along and said, I know what I'm doing now is Asur. And I know I'm making a Shivuat Isur over here. And I'm going to swear, I swear, I didn't eat. Still we said the guy's a Shogeg. How? Because the guy said, because I don't know if you're Hayav Hatar in such a case. You know, but Shivuat Bitu, I don't know if it's a type of Isur that's Korban Hatat, punishable. So we said, Hayav, that makes him a Shogeg. So we said, who's the author of that? We said, it's got to be Munbaz. Because Munbaz is the only one that said you could know the Isur, but not be aware of the Korban Chatat and still be Hayav Korban. Right? Now let's see Rashi. Ezu Shivuat Bitu L'Sha'avar. Bishlama Lehabba. She's asking, why did the Braita choose a case of past tense? We said by Shivuat Bitu there's two cases. There's a past tense case and there's a future tense case, right? Kegon shelo ochal, which is, let's say a guy made a swear la'atid. I swear I'm not going to eat. So that she says, mashka hatla kegon shenit alma shivua ve'achal. This is, in that case we have a case where it could be hayav hatat. He made a swear, I swear I'm going to eat, and then what? He forgot that he made the swear. Even Rabbi Yochanan will agree, Yahayav Hatat, because his Shegaga came in what? In the Isur, in the lab itself. I review. In a future case, if it said Hayav Hatat, I have no problem with this Braita. Why? Because I said, I swear I'm going to eat. Right? And then he forgets that he made a Shivua, or he forgets that Shivua is Isur, and he ate. Of course Hayav Hatat, because his Shegaga is in the Isur itself. Ela L'Sha'avar. But the case of the past tense case, Kegon she'achalti, v'u lo achal, right? He swears, I swear that I ate and he didn't eat. En kan shogeg. Why? De'i kasabur she'achal b'sha'a she'nishba. That Rashi tells us a big hadush over here. If he thought at the time that he made the shivuah that he really ate, so he says, eno hayav korban, you would not be hayav korban in such a case. Why? The Tanya b'Shivuot ha'adam b'Shivuah. In the Torah, when it talks about the laws of a man making a Shivuah, it says the word Adam, a man, and it says the word Shivuah. What do we learn from there? That you have to be an Adam at the time that you're making the Shivuah. What does it mean? You have to be a human being at the time you're making the Shivuah? No, it means that you have to have knowledge of an Adam at the time. Prat le'anus. Coming to include a case where the guy is an anus. He has a circumstance. Kilomar, for example. Ha'adam b'shvuah. Shiye adam b'sha'at shvuah. Shiteh da'to ala b'sha'at shvuah. Uparshina la'atam. The Gemara gives an example. La'puke ki'ay gavna. Which means, let's say a guy that the case was Rashi. I'll give you the case that Rashi brought. Rashi's case was a guy made a shivuah. he said, Achalti. He says, I swear I ate. He really didn't eat. But at the time that he made the Shivua, he just forgot. He really thought he was saying the truth. I mean, he's saying, Achalti, but he thought he ate, which is yet to eat. I really think I ate. It's just, he just forgot. That case is not Chayav Shivua. Because that case is not, he's not an Adam at the time of the Shivua. He doesn't have his dot. Which means, so now, in this case over here, that classical case of what? Anus, which is that case over there, in the case where he made a shivua, l'sha'avar, in that case, it's not going to happen if the guy didn't know. So what's the only case you could say in the past tense, where you hayav korban? You have to say that he knew. What's the case that he knew? Our case of the brayta. We came along and said, I know that the shivua that I'm going to make is isur, meaning, I know I didn't eat. I'm an Adam, I know exactly what I did over here. I know I didn't eat. And I know that I'm making a shivua over here, that's isur. You still hayaf shagaga. It's the only case you can have. And therefore, what's the case? So the Gemara says, the case is where he didn't know that what? He's hayaf korban. Who's that going like? Munbaz. Which means that she, all he did for us. What that she did for us here is, he explained why the Braita had to come to this conclusion that it's Munbaz. Why? Because if you gave me a case of the future tense, where you hayav korban, I know that's an easy case. I could say that the guy had well intention when he made the shivua, I swear I'm going to eat. And then what happened? He forgot his shivua, and he ate. Hayav korban even according to Rabbi Yohanan. That case is clear. In the case of the past tense, if it's the guy that said, I swear that I ate, and he really thought that he ate, so at the time that he was making the shivua, he just didn't know what he was doing. Well, you're not in the hayav korban in that case either. Ha'adam b'shivua. You have to be with seichel. You have to have a brain at the time you're making the shivua. So what's the only case of a past tense shivua that you can be hayav korban? You have to know what you're doing at the time of the shivua. That means, at the time of the shivua, you said, I know that I didn't eat. And I know now I'm going to make a shivua that I ate, and I know that that is asur. Well, the guy's an adam. The guy knows exactly the score. And still, the braita says, hayav chatat l'sha'avar. How could it be? Skibra said, yeah, because he didn't know one prat. What's the one prat he didn't know? The hatat element of it. Who's that? That's like Mundas. So it comes out, according to this, the only way you could make a shivuat bitun shavar is only according to Mundas. Because the Hakamim have to figure out a way in the Torah, unless they hold that the only shivuat bitun is la'atid. But according to Mundas, you can have a case of shigiga, both in the atid and in the avar. Comes the Gemara and continues, we skip parentheses. Ve'amar Abaye. Abaye says, Hakol modim betruma she'en hayavim alea chomesh ad sheyishgog belav sheba. Let's move on to teruma. What's the case of teruma? We know teruma is kodesh, right? Only a kohen is allowed to eat teruma. Let's say a non-kohen ate teruma. So the punishment is, from the Torah, if he did it, b'mezid, on purpose, he's hayav mita bide shamayim. I want to point out, that's not karet. There's a difference between mita bide shamayim and karet, which means borei olam takes care of the guy. It's a mita bide shamayim, God will handle him. Karet, the specific things that happen to him. He dies at a certain age, he doesn't have children, etc. But then there's another type of mitah, it's called mitah b'deshamam. That's the isur of somebody that eats, a non-kohen that eats terumah b'mezid. If he eats terumah b'shogeg, he didn't know it was terumah. So what's the punishment? So the punishment is, he has to, of course, pay back the kohanim, because he ate their food. But he's got to pay back teruma plus. Plus what? Chomesh. What is Chomesh? Chomesh is one-fifth. Now, the Gemara says, It's not one fifth. It's the Gemara is going to learn, and it's the second Teruma. It's called Milevab, which is an outside fifth. It's not 20%. It's not a calculation like that. It's called one fifth Milevab, and the Gemara gives the way you calculate that as well. Yes, like 25% exactly. Now, the Gemara analyzes. In the case of a person that ate Teruma Mishogig, that you're telling me is Hayav Hatat. Torah does say in that case he has to bring as well a Korban Hatat. So the Gemara says, and we read, Damar Abaye, it's also Abaye's statement. He was the one that brought the Shivuat Pitui story, he's now bringing the Teruma story. Hakol Modim B'Teruma, everybody agrees in Teruma, She'en Hayavim Alea Chomesh, that you're not Hayav the Chomesh, Ad She'yishgog Belav Sheba. Which means until the shegaga that you made was in the lav itself. Which means, let's analyze. A guy to me is shogeg in teruma, Abaye is telling you, you have to not know that either this is teruma or that teruma is forbidden. So the Gemara says, a kol modim man, who's the kol modim, everybody agrees, Rabbi Yohanan. Hidush Rabbi Yohanan, which means normally where Rabbi Yohanan says you could know the Isur, it's just that you didn't know the punishment, that makes you shogeg. When it comes to Teruma, you have to be a shogeg in the Teruma, in the Isur. Gemara says Pshita, isn't that obvious? Ki amar Rabbi Yohanan echadika karet, didn't Rabbi Yohanan say that the only time you could be a shogeg, that's in a case where you know the isur, that's in a case where you were shogeg in the karet, because it had karet. Hecha deleka karet lo. But in the case where there's no karet, for example in Teruma, there is no punishment karet, so then where else is the shogeg is going to be? Where? In the? In the lav. So what are you telling me? Of course Rabbi Yohanan will say it. Kibra says, no, ma'u detema mita bimkom karet omedet. I would think like this. Maybe mitabi de shamayim is in lieu of karet. V'chishagag b'mita nami lehayev. And I would have thought that just like in a case with this karet, you could be a shogeg in the karet and chayav. So I would say as well, maybe in the case of teruma, if you're shogeg in the fact that it's not punishable mitabi de shamayim, that's like karet. And therefore it also make you a shogeg. Kamash malan, no. Kamash malan, that only a lack of knowledge in karet punishment brings chayuv korban, but not lack of knowledge in the mitah bideh shamayim. Now I want to clarify something that I made an error on. I will go back. There is no korban hatat by teruma if a person eats it. All he has to do is, if he does it be mezid, is mitah bideh shamayim. If he does it be shogeg, he pays back principal plus chomet. There's no korban chatat. I take that back. And I'm going to tell you exactly what the Gemara is saying here. But there's a case of shogeg. Instead of thinking it in terms of the shogeg brings a korban, by terumah, the shogeg brings chomesh. Plug in, instead of korban shogeg, it's chomesh shogeg. That's the correlation we're making over here. And therefore say like this. Gemara says in Abaye's name, in Teruma to be a shogeg, meaning to be Hayav Chomesh, you have to have the shigegah in the lab itself. Gemara says, everybody agrees to that. Hakol Modim, man, who's Makol Modim? Rabbi Yohanan. Gemara says, what are you talking about? Of course. What are you telling me? Obvious, Rabbi Yohanan only said you could be a karet outside of the lab, you could be a shogeg outside of the lab when there was a karet. And therefore, if you didn't know the karet, I can make you a shogeg. Mashenken over here, there is no karet. So therefore, obviously, to be Kayav Chomesh, the shogeg is going to have to be in the lab itself. Kemana says, you might have thought that mitavi de shamayim is like karet. And therefore, I can be a shogeg and not knowing mitavi de shamayim. Kamash malam mitavi de shamayim is not like karet. You have to know the... You have to be a shogeg in the lab itself. Now what is the difference indeed? So as we explained earlier, Shitat Rabbi Yohanan, why is he allowed to be a shogeg in the karet? Because the whole source of a shogeg hayav hatat is because the mezid in that case is hayav karet. Jeez, what's the source we set up shogeg hayav hatat? Only because mezid hayav karet. So therefore, there's a direct correlation between hayuv karet and korban hatat. So if I could say if you were shogeg in the karet aspect, that could still bring you to a korban hatat. There's no direct correlation between mitabi deshamayim and homesh. There's no direct correlation. They're two separate. It's not the mitabi deshamayim that brings the homesh, and therefore, even if a person is lacking in the homesh and the mitabi deshamayim, that's and he knows the yisur, that's considered mezid. The only time it's going to be considered a shogeg is if he did not know the Yisur Terumah itself comes again. So therefore, bottom line, we have two exceptions in Rabbi Yohanan. Shivuat Bitui and Terumah. Comes the Gemara and says, last point of the Gemara. Amar Ravuna Haya Mehalech. Well, we have over here Girsaot. We have Bamidbar. Okay? I'm sorry. Rava Amar, Mita bimkom karet omedet, vehomesh bimkom korban ka'er. Rava argues, Rava says no, Mita bide shamayim is like the karet, and the homesh is like the korban, and therefore Rava argues, Rava will tell you in Rabbi Yochanan, so long as you could have known the Isur of Terumah. If your shogeg came in the mitabi de shamayim, you're still considered a shogeg. So we have a mahloket, Abaye and Rava. In the case of terumah, what makes you a shogeg? Abaye says the shogeg must come in the lav itself, where Rava says no. Just like we let you be a shogeg in the karet, we let you be a shogeg in the mitabi de shamayim as well. Comes the Gemara and says, new story. Amar Avuna Haya Me'alech Bamidbar. Guy was walking, let's say, in the desert. Ve'enu yodaya ematai Shabbat. He has no idea when Shabbat is. He lost track of days. So what does he do? When does he commemorate Shabbat? He has to commemorate Shabbat. So it says, Moneh Shisha Yamin. He counts 6 days from the day that he forgot. That she says, "Miyom shesam elibo shechato," which is from the day that he forgot, that he paid attention, that he really doesn't know where he's holding, and he counts 6 days. And what? The seventh day, the Gemara says, "Meshamer yom echad." He keeps the seventh day. So it's an arbitrary Shabbat over here. 6 days, seventh day is Shabbat. Hiya bar Rav Omer, Hiya bar Rav says, Mishamer yom echad umore shisha. He says, no. On the day that you remember that you lost your track, means the next day you keep Shabbat, and then you count six. So the Gemara says, Bemaika mepalge, what's the root of their argument over here? Mor sabar kibriyato shel olam. The first rabbi holds, you keep Shabbat according to the creation of the world. First there were 6 days, and then Shabbat. So therefore, if you don't know where you're holding, 6 days, then Shabbat. Umor sabar ke Adam Rishon. And Mor sabar, the other rabbi says, no, like Adam Rishon. Adam did not have 6 days before his Shabbat. Adam had Shabbat the next day. He was born on Friday, Shabbat was the next day. So the same thing. You make your Shabbat the next day, and then you count six. So the mahalok is, how do you judge the Shabbat? You judge it like Briyat Olam, six and then one, or you judge like Adam and Rishon, one then six. Metive, we have a contradiction, we have a question from a Braita. Haya mehalech baderech. A guy was walking again on the road. Ve'enu yodeya ematai Shabbat. And he doesn't know when Shabbat is. Meshamer yom echad l'shisha. Now what does that sound like? You keep one for six. It's mashma that you counted six already, and then you do one. So the Gemara says, "My love, moneh shisha mishamer yom echad." This is a proof to the opinion that says six and then one, and a question according to the opinion that says 1 6. Again, from the lashon of the Blaita, it says, "Mishamer yom echad leshisha." it sounds like you did the six already, and now you just have to keep one. So the Gemara is asking a question on the opinion that said one, then six. The Gemara says, "Lo, mishamer yom echad umone shisha." I can explain it. It means that you keep one day and then you count six. Gemara says, "Come on, ihache mishamer yom echad leshisha." It shouldn't say that in the Braita, that you keep 1, 4, 6. It shouldn't have said in the Braita that you keep one, then you count six. The Gemara says, Ve'od, and furthermore, ask another question. Tanya, we have a Braita. Haya melech baderech u'mamidbar. Ve'enu yodaya ematai Shabbat. Clearly the Braita says, Moneh shisha u'mishamer yom echad. So leave that other braita. Braita's vague, let's say. Still, it's mashma like six and one. But here we have explicit braita that says six and one. Gemara says, Tiyufta Nechiya Barav Tiyufta. So the Gemara makes a sound refutation on the Shedav Chiya Barav that said one and six. We have two braitot that are mashma against him. Chiya Barav is a amora. He cannot argue on Tanayic statements, and therefore he is refuted. And that is the halakha, incidentally, that you do six and one. Amar Rava, so now Rava goes into some details in this case. Bechol yom vayom oseh lo kedeh panasato. Bar mahu yomah. Which means, every day they allow the guy to sustain himself by working in order to make enough food to live. Which really means every day is a Safek Shabbat. We're just telling the guy, your official commemorative Shabbat is going to be on the seventh day. But really, every single day is Safek Doraita Shabbat. So we allow the guy only during the 6 days even to work to what he needs. But after he gets, let's say, enough for a few meals, then he has to stop as well. He can't continue because really it is Samek Shabbat. So the Gemara says, Bar Mahu Yoma. The Hiddush is on the seventh day, no work at all. So the Gemara says, Vahu Yoma Limut. Well, you want him to die on that day? What does that mean? On the seventh day, he shouldn't work, which means on the Shabbat itself, if it's Pikuach Nefesh, if he has, just like you're letting him work on the other days. Obviously, the reason why you're letting him work on the other days is because the guy can't fast. The guy needs to eat something. So just like you allow him to work on the 6 days to sustain himself, on Shabbat as well, on his Shabbat, he should also be allowed to sustain himself. Right? The Gemara says, David me'etmol shte panasot. No, let him do the day before. Let him work double. So the Gemara says, work double the day before. V'dilma me'etmol Shabbat havai. Maybe yesterday was Shabbat. Which means, how could you allow him to work double? By working double, that means after he works for the amount of meals that he has, it's not pikuach nefesh anymore. Once it's not pikuach nefesh anymore, he could be mechalel Shabbat. Maybe the day before was Shabbat. The only reason why you let him work for his sustenance is why pikuach nefesh. Yeah? So the Gemara says, oh, so let him do it on the seventh day as well. No. We'll work double on the sixth day. He'll work double on the sixth day. How could you let him do that?
What if that day was Shabbat?
Now he's working outside the Shabbat. He's working on Shabbat. So the Gemara says, Ela kol yom bayom oselo panasato afilu ahu yomah. He's even that day he's able to work enough to sustain himself. So the Gemara says, Ahu yomah b'mayim min karde. So then what makes that day noticeable that it's Shabbat? Because technically all week long he's not doing melacha. They're only allowing him to go to work for a few hours, whatever it is, to make his panasa. Once he makes enough panasa, what does he do? He just sits all day. So therefore, the question then is, he's doing the same thing on the seventh day. So what makes the seventh day noticeable that it is Shabbat? So the Gemara says, Bikdusha v'avdalta. Because on that day he makes kiddush at night, and he makes havdalah on motzei that night. Which means it's Bikhidush over here, even though it's a safek. And normally you have a rule when it comes to berachot, you know, safek, we don't make berachot in such a case, but the rabbis over here allowed him to make berachot so he will not forget the concept of Shabbat. This is an excruciating circumstance over here. The guy, if you're not going to let him say Kiddush and Abdallah, he's going to forget the entire concept. So in order to remain the concept, the rabbis allowed him to make Kiddush with a beracha and Abdallah as well. Amar Rava. Rava says another Kiddush regarding this case. Imaya makir miksata yom shiyatzabo Osem melacha kol hayom kulo. Just like this. Let's say the guy, he knew how many days ago he left the yeshuv, because now he's in the midbar. For example, the guy knows that he left on this trip 3 days ago. So the assumption is that he might not know what day it is now, but he knows he didn't leave on Shabbat. When he was in the town, he knows he didn't leave on a Shabbat to go on his trip. It's now that he's in the midbar, he got disoriented. Correct? So therefore, Rava says a nice chidush. He says, well, certainly, on that day that he left, you have no problem. So let's say he knows this is day three, let him count five more days. So therefore, on day eight, he has no focus. Day 8, that's the day that repeats itself that he left. And therefore, for sure on day 8, he has no problem. Because for sure, you know, that's the day that he left. That's Lavas Chedush. So the Gemara says, Pshita. Isn't that? No, he knows he didn't leave on Shabbat. When you're in the town, he knew the dates of the town. When did he get disoriented? He got disoriented in the Midbar. So therefore, we're telling you, if you can calculate how many days you're in the Midbar, which is the day you left, so therefore, you got it 3 days ago I left. So therefore, you know that on 8 days, five more days, that day is going to recur, obviously. And therefore, that day, you know you didn't leave. So why is that day you're good? So the Gemara says, Pshita. Is that obvious? Says, no, ma'u de tema, kevan de Shabbat lo nafik. Well, since for sure the guy leave on Shabbat, b'ma'ale shabbeta name lo nafik. I might say what? That the guy, since he's not going to leave on a Shabbat, maybe he doesn't leave on a Friday as well. And therefore, maybe you can give him 2 days. Which means maybe you can give him the 8th day and the
7th.
And the 7th is the day before. Or I think it goes the other way. Which means, wait. Let's go slow. You'll figure out the days itself. The point is, maybe give him Friday advantage also to work. Why? Because if the guy doesn't leave on Shabbat, so maybe he doesn't leave on Friday as well. Rava's Hiddush is, nah, we don't give him 2 days. We only give him 1 day. Why? Does a guy leave on a trip on Erev Shabbat? He says, yeah, he will. He says like this. Gemara says, I read, Ma'u de Tema, second line before they get why. Kevan de Shabbat on Afik. במעלה שבתה נמה לו נפיק והי ינמה בחמישה בשבתה נפיק. And therefore I can assume that the guy must have left on a Thursday. And therefore I might have thought he should allow the guy to work 2 days, because there are 2 days that are guaranteed. כמה שמעלה? No. Sometimes they find the caravan leaving on Friday, and it happens that he'll jump on the caravan on Friday, but it's not in the bag, it's not guaranteed that he's not leaving on a Friday. Therefore, Rava's Chiddush was, if you can calculate backwards what day he left, how many days before, you only give him 8 days from that day, and no more, because the assumption is it's possible he could have left on Friday. If there was a lift leaving, let's say, he's going to get on. He left on a Shayara. In a case where he left on a Shayara, let's say. Yeah, let's say he knows he left on a Shayara. He knows that's the way they travel the older days. Right? They travel by caravan. So therefore, it's possible that this guy could have went on a Friday as well. And therefore, he just knows the days. He doesn't know what date. He doesn't know the day where he is. He knows the numbers. So therefore, Rava says you only give him that day itself that he left, and not before. One more point. The Gemara says, look at the bottom Tosafot for a second. Ose kede panasato, bottom Tosafot, gentlemen. Aval, lealech yachol kol ma shirse. Which means, even on the other days, the 6 days that we don't let him work, Tosfot says we allow him to walk. issues, even though you have tchum issues 60. Here. Which means you might say that the guy's done the 6 days, after he does his work, he's got to sit in his place. Tosfot says no. During the 6 days, walk. Only on the day that he's keeping as the official Shabbat, then he cannot walk. Why? He says, I'll never get home. I can't let the guy get home. He's got to let him walk. He's got to get out of the Yishuv. So for sure, they're going to let him walk during the 6 days. Then he says, V'ahad ka'amar, b'may minkar, mishum de'enze ekel Shabbat, b'may shi yoshev ve'enu holech. Which means, why don't you say, the Gemara said, oh, on the seventh day, what's going to be the noticeable aspect of Shabbat? So Tosfot says that he's sitting, that he's not traveling. That's the thing. So he says no, that's not noticed. That doesn't make it Shabbat, which is because the guy can sit during the week as well. She's different. That's not the noticeable. That it's Shabbat. Some guys rest during the week also. They don't travel. So therefore, it's got to be something in the Shabbat itself. In a med, second answer of Tosfot, afilu biyom shemeshamer holech kemo shirotze. Tosfot then says, you know what? Even on the day that he's keeping his Shabbat, he travels. Why? No, because he'll hold, according to some explanation of this Tosafot, that we learned earlier that according to most opinions, except for Rabbi Akiva, Tehumin is the Rabbanan. And this Shabbat over here is really the Shabbat Misafik. So you really don't know if it's Safik. So therefore, in the Rabbanan of Tehum, will be lenient. And therefore, some opinions that want to say will be lenient in all Shvuts, in all the Surah the Rabbanan, not only Tehum, any Surah the Rabbanan in this case, will be an issue. Will be mutar, according to the second answer of the Tosafot. Furthermore, there's a whole discussion just in this halakha. You'll check it up in the Bi'ur halakha on this siman that talks about the fellow that loses his berries. What does he do? Like a betefilin. So the whole discussion, the chaura, tefillin is a safek doraita. So the chaura, he has to wear the tefillin the 7 days. And the Bi'ur halakha wants to prove that he's going to make a beracha all 7 days as well. Because if you're going to say he's not going to make a beracha on the seventh day, there's your hekir. Which is the Gemara wants to, oh, hekir b'shabbat mina. He didn't say. The hekir is that when he puts on his tefillin that day, he's not going to make a beracha. And that's the hekir. That must be what? That must be he's making a beracha all 7 days. I had Shabbat Dibur al-Akha. We discussed this back and forth exactly what the hayuv of tefillin is. All week long he prays tefillat. Hold on Shabbat, he prays tefillat Shabbat. Hayodeya ikar Shabbat. And last point, gentlemen. We gave two cases in our Mishnah of Klal Gadol. One case is where you bring one Korban Hatat for many transgressions of Shabbat. That was a case where the person, let's say, forgot the concept of Shabbat. And then there was another case where he brings many Korbanot for every Shabbat. Like we said, one per. So how do you know this? The Torah is going to have to show us Pesukim that these scenarios exist. That sometimes you bring one for everything, and sometimes you bring one per. How do you know those cases exist? Per Shabbat, so the Gemara says. Which is, how do you know these two scenarios? Ashi, let's read that Ashi inside. Mina nemile, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines after they get wide in Ashi. Sheyesh mechalel b'shabbatot harbeh, v'chayav achat. That sometimes a guy can be mechalel Shabbat, many Shabbatot, but he's only chayav one korban al kulan, v'yesh mechalelan v'chayav akol Shabbat v'shabbat. And sometimes you can be mechalel Shabbat and you chayav one per. Where do you know that from the Torah? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Abba Bar Abu, tre kera'e ketive. We have two pesukim written in the Torah regarding Shabbat. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael et Shabbat. Shabbat is written in the singular tense. Uchti, we have another pasuk that says, et Shabbatotai teshmor, which means keep many Shabbatot. So the Gemara says, ha ketzad, v'shamru yisrael et Shabbat. What does the singular mean? Shemina achat v'shabbatot harbeh. That sometimes you can transgress many Shabbatot, and you'll only be chayav for one Shabbat. That's the case where what? The guy forgot totally there's a concept of Shabbat. The et Shabbatotai teshmoru, and what is the plural pasuk talking about? Shemira achat lechol Shabbat v'Shabbat. That you'll be chayav a korban et Shabbatotai per Shabbat. What's that case? Where every Shabbat he forgot that it was Shabbat. And he remembered during the week again, and then Shabbat again he forgot, so therefore it's Shabbatotai. It's every week. So that's the first way of learning. Matkif la Rav Nachman Bar Yitzhak. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzhak comes along and says, I agree in the laws, by the way. The laws, you're right. But Adrabah, on the contrary, Ipcha Mistabra, your derivation from the Pesukim, I would learn the opposite. And I would say like this. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha-Shabbat, from the singular pasuk I'll say, Shemira ahat nechon Shabbat v'Shabbat, which means each Shabbat is judged with the Korban Hatat. That's the single. And I would say, v'et Shabbatotai tishmoru, the plural is going on what? Shemira ahat l'Shabbatot tarbeh, where you transgress many Shabbatot, you'll only be chayav one. So he's agreeing in principle to the dinim. The machloket over here is, which pasuk is coming for which concept of Hilul Shabbat. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen.